Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just come to you today, Lord, in humbleness, Lord, as children handling a very powerful thing, Lord. I just pray that you would show us your word, show us your life, Lord. Reveal yourself to us today, Lord. I pray that you would just make your word known through me, Lord, today. Just pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I have a very simple message for today. Unlike, you know, the typical 3 points in a poem, I've got 1 point and no poem. Brenda tells me that she likes nice, simple, short messages. I don't know if it's going to be a short message, but it's going to be a simple message. Also, I want to kind of issue my standard disclaimer in that what I'm up here talking about today is not something that the Lord has perfected in my life. I'm up here because it's something the Lord is showing me and is working out in me and has prompted me to share with all of y'all. So don't take this as me preaching to you, but take this as me sharing with you something that the Lord is still doing. What I'd like to talk about today is a kind of a fundamental principle of a Christian walk, and that is faith. But I'm going to talk about it in a little bit different way. I'm going to try to talk about it without using the word faith very much. I'm going to, once we get into it, I'll use another word for faith, and we'll talk about that other word. If you need a title for today's message, you can call it Confidence in Christ, or just maybe just plain confidence. So let's start off by reading Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. We'll start with chapter 10, verse 39. Okay, Hebrews 10, 39 says, "But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now, faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Hebrews 11 defines faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, as another translation puts it. And that's the standard definition for faith for a Christian. I don't know about you, but for some reason, that definition of faith has never really hit home with me. It's always kind of missed the mark. I've read it, and it's been like, I still don't know what faith means. What does this mean? So because of that, we're going to talk about faith today. I'm going to talk about it using a different word for a couple of reasons. One is it's not good to define a word using to include a word in its own definition. So as we define faith, I'm not going to be using the word faith in its own definition. But the real reason is because that term faith, I think, has a lot of confusion around it. So I want to kind of hopefully clear things up by sharing about faith, by not talking about faith. You know, faith is a word that we've all used a lot, and I've used a lot in my Christian life. But, you know, it's like a lot of other spiritual terms. I've used it, but I really don't know if I know what it means. When I was thinking about this, the famous words of Inigo Montoya came to mind. He said, "You keep using that word. I don't think that word means what you think it means." Some of y'all know who Inigo Montoya is. that's kind of the way I felt about faith. There are, I guess, a lot of reasons why I've never really, well, as I was meditating on this, why I didn't like the term faith. For one, it's too spiritual. Well, how can something be too spiritual? Well, it's used a lot in a spiritual context, and I think it's used in a very much in a rote fashion in a spiritual context. We have an issue, or somebody has an issue. We come up with a word, boom, we slap it on the issue and say, there, that fixes it. We don't really know exactly what that word means or if it's even appropriate. You know, do it in the rote fashion, slapping the word on the problem is a lot easier than actually seeking the Lord and seeking Him about what is the right approach, what's the right thing to say, what's the right thing to do. So when we do that, when we just are just slapping answers on people, I think that's when it becomes too spiritual. Uh, Another next gripe I have about the term faith is that it's overused. It gets applied all over the place for all manner of things by both in the church and by the world. I think it's a strategy of the enemy to take a word that is rich and full of meaning, the way the Lord intended it, and just use it all over the place and use it with a slight little twist here, a slight little twist there, until the actual initial true meaning of it is gone. It's obliterated in a blizzard of fake meanings that you really can't weed out what is the true meaning of this word. And I think faith is a victim of that overuse. One of my favorite bizarre uses of the term faith was I heard this quasi-Christian feel-good preacher say that we should have faith in faith. And you think about that and you think, what does that really mean? What has faith ever done for me? Did faith die on the cross for me? Did faith bring me new life? No, Jesus did. When I was a kid, I had this game I would play. I had a warped childhood, but I would take a word and just say it over and over and over again until that word just was completely silly. Just the sound of the word was silly. And that's kind of like what has happened with faith. We've said it over and over again until it's like it's become completely detached from its true and real meaning. Another reason that I've always had trouble understanding the term faith is because for some reason it's never been used with any context or in any context that I can understand or glean meaning from it. When you learn a new word, unless you're looking at it in the dictionary, you hear the word and you figure out its meaning from the context around it. But faith was always kind of a standalone word. You have faith, you have no faith, whatever. It's always just this little word that was never had a lot of context to it. When I was thinking about this, the example I came up with is if I looked at somebody and said, Alan, you have a lot of toddy. And Michelle, you have no toddy. Tom Robertson, oh ye of little toddy. Okay, does anybody know what toddy means? Any idea? Anybody guesses what toddy means? No. Toddy means facial hair. In Hindi. So Alan has a lot of toddy. Tom doesn't have much. That's kind of how I felt about faith. It was used, but I could never really attach a lot of context to it to understand what it means. So it was just really nothing concrete to nail that term faith to and really understand it. I guess maybe because the Lord was never really revealing that to me. But another reason the term faith has never really hit home was because it was too nebulous. And it was like it always had this kind of a shifting meaning. I think I'd see it, I'd grab for it, and it would disappear, like trying to grab smoke. Just kind of grab for it, and it's gone. I'm a very concrete person, and I like yes and no answers. And I could never really get a yes or no answer out of what faith was. And that definition in Hebrews 11:1 never really struck home, as I mentioned before. And I think maybe part of this problem, part of the nebulousness of the term faith was due to all the other misuses of the term that were floating around. And because faith is nebulous, and it was a very nebulous concept to me, it's always had a measure of uncertainty to it. You know, when people talk about faith, when I would hear people talk about faith, it was always with some level of uncertainty. You know, do I have enough faith? Is my faith strong enough? You know, I don't know. I'm uncertain. And when I'm uncertain, I think a lot of people say when they're uncertain, there's fear there. There's a measure of fear. And I'm fairly confident that the Lord doesn't want us to be fearful. We're not supposed to have a spirit of fear. But this thinking about faith, there's always some uncertainty there. And dealing with issues of faith, it was always uncertainty. Do we have enough? And that kind of put a wedge between me and understanding the term faith and being able to really understand what it means and use it correctly. Well, recently, the Lord has revealed to me a different way to think about faith. And He's given me a new outlook on this very puzzling term that's been puzzling to me all 30-some years of my Christian walk. And that's by showing me a different word for faith. And that word is confidence. You probably didn't guess that from the title. But the term confidence has given me a fresh perspective on faith. Now, this minor revelation, as probably some of y'all know this old habit, to me it was a minor revelation. It came when I was reading Hebrews 10:39. I was reading this, and the words shrink back stood out to me. It says, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction. Well, what causes one to shrink back? It's a lack of confidence. When you don't have confidence in something, you shrink back from it. You know, like if somebody were to ask you to go out there and fix the copier that's always broken, you probably don't have any confidence in your ability to do that. So you would shrink back from that duty of fixing the copier. Well, what happens when you shrink back? What does Scripture say happens when you shrink back? There's destruction. What happens when you have confidence and you don't shrink back? There's preserving of the soul. And another example that came to mind was watching a child that's learning to catch a baseball. They have no confidence in their skill in catching the baseball. So they stick the glove up, they close their eyes, they turn away, and the guy wailing their glove around, and what always happens? They get smacked by the baseball. I know that's a very earthly term, not real spiritual, and it's not confidence in the Lord, but it is an example of when you don't have confidence, we're shrinking back. So I'm going to try from here on out in the message to, instead of using the term faith, to use the term confidence, instead of talking about faith. Well, what does the dictionary say that confidence is? The dictionary says, has a lot of meanings for confidence. Some of them are in relation to criminal activities. But there are two that have applicable meaning. One is a feeling of assurance, and the other is a state or quality of being certain. If we have confidence in something, we have assurance in that thing, or we have a state or quality of assurance in that thing. If we have confidence in something, we're certain that that thing is going to happen. Or if we have confidence in a person, we're certain that person is going to do a certain thing. So when it comes down to it, I believe that faith and confidence are indistinguishable, and that's my one point of the message. Confidence is faith; faith is confidence. The two are, for all intents and purposes, the same thing. But the difference for me is that I understood confidence. I recognize confidence when I see it. And I know I recognize it in myself when I have confidence in something. And I recognize in someone else when they have confidence in something. So there, it finally put legs on this issue of faith that could walk around. As I was meditating about this, I came up with several reasons why I think the term confidence works better than the other term, at least for me. First off is it's not spiritually overused. There aren't people out there running around saying have confidence and confidence. It still has somehow retained its original meaning. And, you know, that may not seem like much, but any little ray of light in the dark is helpful. Another reason why I like the term confidence rather than that other term is because it's given shape and form to this nebulous concept. You know, I could never put my arms around faith, but I know confidence when I see it. And because I can kind of recognize confidence, the Lord has been able to show me where I have confidence in Him, or where I have confidence in myself, or confidence in other things. And one thing the Lord has done is as I've been reading Scripture and I see the term faith, I go back and read it as confidence in the Lord. And that, for me, it's been revealing new meaning to Scripture. Another reason why confidence, I don't know, this may just be my perception, but confidence seems to be focused outward. for me, faith has always, when the term faith has been used, has always been focused inward. You know, do I have enough faith? Is my faith strong enough? Of course, you know, self-confidence is always focused inward, but we'll talk about self-confidence later. But other confidences was, or other faiths were, do I have enough? Is my faith strong enough? And that's really not where our focus needs to be. With confidence, the focus is always outward, saying, can he do it? Does he have the ability to do it? It turned the question from, do I have enough? Or can I muster up enough? The question changed to, is he strong enough? Can he do it? It's not, can I hold on to him? That's the wrong question. The right question is, can he hold on to me? You know, like Ed Miller said at the men's retreat, if you're asking the wrong question, you're going to get the wrong answer. And I think my perception of the term faith was causing me to ask the wrong question of, do I have enough? And the right question is, can he hold on to me? Or is he good enough? Can he do it? And one thing is, when we ask, can the Lord do it? I think we all know what the answer is going to be. It's going to be yes. And as I mentioned before in other messages, simple is good. Christianity should be simple. And a question that only has one answer, that's a very simple question. Can he do it? Yes. The Lord likes to give us simple things because he knows that's about all we can handle. Really the issue of confidence, and likewise the issue of faith, is not how much we have, but it's the issue of in whom we have it. I don't think the Lord is sitting up in his throne looking down at us and saying, well, he didn't have enough confidence when he prayed that prayer, so I'm not going to answer it. I don't think he's setting a threshold. If confidence to me is kind of a binary term. I don't know if y'all deal with computer stuff. A binary is either zero, there's either not there or it's there. It's either yes or no. There is no in between. There's no maybe. There's no halfway. Faith always seemed to be kind of a halfway thing, whereas confidence, either you have confidence or you don't have confidence. Now, I know that the grammar police, Linda, will get on me saying, well, the Lord talked about you have little faith, or there is measures of faith and there's measures of confidence. And that is true, but my perception has been that confidence is very much a binary thing and faith is very much a measure thing that you may not have enough to satisfy the Lord. But when it comes down to it, the Lord knows how much faith we have. He knows how much confidence we have in him. And when he puts our confidence to the test, when he puts us in a situation to test our confidence, he knows that we have enough. Because he said that he'll never put us in a situation beyond what our confidence in him will bear. So he knows that we have enough. So for all intents and purposes, we have all we need. And as he tests us, and that confidence he proves true in us, our confidence in him is proven true, how can I put that word, then we have a greater measure of confidence in him. You know, it's like you have all the confidence you need one day, and then the next day you have more. It's like what Ed Miller shared at the men's retreat. I keep referring back to Ed Miller, but you're full one day, and the next day, as you see more of the Lord, you're fuller. It's a miracle of the Lord that we can be complete one day and more complete the next. Also, I guess confidence, like faith, confidence can't be faked. People can pretend they have confidence in something, but when it comes time, when something becomes shaken, when it comes time to lean on it, you'll see whether they have confidence or not. And just like with faith, faith can be faked, but when it comes time to really rest on it and lean on it, you'll see what people really have their faith in. This whole using the term confidence has, as I mentioned, has opened up new vistas, new areas where the Lord is showing me my life, where I have confidence and where I don't have confidence, where I have confidence in him and where I have confidence in myself or confidence in other things. I guess that's maybe another reason why I've never liked faith, because faith has always been a very spiritual thing. We only have faith in the Lord, but we have faith in a lot of different things. But we just don't call it faith because it's not real spiritual. But we have confidence in many things. And like I said before, I'm pretty sure I know when I see confidence, I know that it's confidence, which helps me see it in myself. I had a confidence or an experience, a tangible experience in confidence this week. On Monday, I did a very foolhardy thing. I took 7 children, including a 3-year-old, to King's Dominion all by myself. That wasn't the confidence testing thing. The confidence testing thing was my daughter shaming me into riding this ride called the Drop Zone. The Drop Zone, it lifts you 350 feet up in the air and then just lets you go and drops you. I don't like heights. And I especially don't like heights when I can't see what's supporting me. On this thrill ride, you're sitting there, you're sitting facing outward, so you can't see any of the machine behind you. Your feet are dangling free in open space, and you really all you can see is open space around you because it's a big circle, and you're just looking out 350 feet off the ground, knowing that this thing is just gonna any second it's gonna let go of you and drop you about 300 feet, and then catch you at the bottom before you splat. Well, to ride this thing, I had to have significant confidence in a bunch of engineers that I had never met to know that they could design this machine to operate thousands of times, be operated by unmotivated teenagers thousands of times, and safely bring me back to the ground. As I was standing there in line looking at this thing, looking at these people drop, I think I'm going to do that. But I've got confidence that this machine works correctly. That's kind of a silly, tangible example of confidence. There are a lot less tangible, but more important examples of where we place our confidence. And one way that we can see where we're placing our confidence is what criteria we use to plan our lives, to look out tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years down the road and plan our lives. We're sort of like gamblers in that regard. We look at all these factors that are going to be there, and we kind of put odds on what's going to happen, and we have confidence that this is going to happen, and we don't have confidence that's going to happen. So we kind of plan on what we have confidence in. And then sometimes we have trouble planning. We don't know what to do. We have a lot of uncertainty. And I think that's because we don't have confidence in anything. And that can be I believe a good warning sign that we're planning and we're uncertain, we're scared, we have this uncertainty in what we're planning. Maybe it's because we don't have confidence in the Lord. And if we have put our confidence in Him, then we'll know the path to take. Also, when you're planning like that and you're assessing the odds of things, you can look at that and say, well, why am I having confidence in that? Because, that's just something of the world or not. We'll kind of get into that, some of the things we have confidence in. I know that I most often see confidence in my life and self-confidence and confidence in my own ability. I've touched on this before about my son calling me arrogant and how my self-confidence can be a very dangerous thing. But, the world tells us that self-confidence is a good thing, that we should train our children from the crib to be self-confident. It's basically leaning on yourself and trusting in yourself. But when we have confidence in anything but Christ, that confidence is misplaced. Yeah, we can look at our life and plan a year down the road thinking, I'll have all this great ability, or I'm going to go to college and I'll be really smart a year down the road and this is what I should do with my life. You're really placing your confidence in yourself and in your own ability. I think as we place our confidence in other things other than the Lord, He's going to shake those things. And He's going to shake us loose from that so that we will cling on to Him. Hopefully we won't shake us loose and cling on to something else, but we will cling to Him, the one thing that is unshakable. We can have misplaced confidence in our country. We base our future hopes and our future dreams on our country being the same as it is today. 20 years from now. You know, we can raise our children with the assumption that they'll be able to live and worship and work as believers in this country just like we have been able to for the past 30 or 40 years. That may be misplaced confidence. Maybe we should be raising our children to lean completely on the Lord and be strangers in this country. You know, we can have confidence in our jobs. We can be planning, yeah, I know I'll have this job a year from now so I can go ahead and spend this money on this brand new car because I know I'll have a job a year from now. You know, we're placing our confidence in our job rather than really seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, what should I do with this money? Should I buy this new car? We can have confidence in Christ. You know, this confidence in Christ is manifested by looking at Christ and planning on Him being the same next week, next year, next decade. Planning on Him being this better than He is now. Not that He changes, but that our knowledge of Him will increase. Because the more we know of Him, the better He is. The more we know of Him, the more confidence we'll have in Him. You know, that the more we know of the Lord and having more confidence in Him is just the opposite of these other things we have confidence in. The more I know of myself, the less confidence I have in myself. The more I know about the work environment, the less confidence I have in my job. Anything of this world that's not of Christ, the more we know of it, the less confidence we'll have in it. But Christ, the more we know of Him, the more confidence we'll have in Him. You know, this issue of self-confidence and seeing ourselves, and I think it's the Lord's mercy and a kind of a blessing that He has designed our aging process the way He has. Because when we're young, we start out, we're invincible, we're immortal, we're strong, we have sharp minds, we know what we're doing, we're ready to take on the world. Very, very self-confident. But as we get older, things start to get cloudy, things start to fall out, things start to droop. We start to lose confidence in ourselves. We see ourselves and we're like, I can't do this anymore. I think it's the Lord gently pushing us, prodding us, saying, why do you have confidence in yourself? You're dying. You're fading away. Have confidence in Me. You know, it's a wonderful Savior that we can have confidence in, that He doesn't change, that He stays invincible, and He stays immortal, and He stays sharp. I was talking to Ernie Heil a couple years ago, several years ago, back in the prayer room. I can remember very vividly, and he said, it is impossible for the Lord to abandon you. He cannot. It's not that He will not, but He cannot abandon you. Because He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And He is bound by His word. So we can have confidence in Him that He will never leave us or forsake us. As you look down in Hebrews 11, going back to faith and confidence. If you look down at Hebrews 11, there's the hall of faith or heroes of the faith. People in the Old Testament who lived their life by faith. And after this little minor revelation of confidence being faith, I was able to go back and reread those passages and get new meaning from that. Kind of wanted to do that today a little bit. Talk about some of these heroes of the faith and substitute confidence in the Lord for faith. Now, if we start with Abraham in verse 8, Abraham had confidence in the Lord. The Lord showed Abraham something, and the Lord told Abraham that this city would be brought about, and this heritage of his, this great nation would be brought about, and he had confidence that the Lord was going to do it. So reading from verse 8, you can read that, by confidence in the Lord, Abraham, who was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, Hebrews goes on talking about Abraham and how he had faith and he lived by that confidence in the Lord. And he was placing his confidence in the Lord to bring about what the Lord had showed him, and that he placed it so much that he was able to leave his family in the area of Ur, the city of Ur, was it a city? The city of Ur, and go out to be a stranger in a strange land. And he had such confidence that the Lord was going to bring an inheritance and bring a nation that he was able to come to the verge of sacrificing his own son, because he had confidence that the Lord was going to do that, that the Lord was going to fulfill his promise. If you look at Moses, a little further down in Hebrews 11, it says, by confidence in the Lord, Moses, whom when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By confidence in the Lord, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By confidence in the Lord, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By confidence in the Lord, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And Moses had such confidence in the Lord that he was able to give up the most opulent life possible and live as a slave, because he knew that the Lord was going to deliver them. You know, he had confidence in the Lord. The Lord would preserve them when he took the people and left Egypt and stirred up the wrath of Pharaoh. And he had confidence in the Lord to sit still while there was destruction going on all around them. And while the angel of death went and killed the firstborn of all Egypt, Moses had confidence to sit still. I don't know about you, but I probably would have had confidence that, yes, the Lord was going to slay all the firstborn of Egypt. But when it came down to it, I would have been scared silly, had very little confidence that a mistake would not be made and my firstborn would be killed. So I would have a lot of, it would have been quite a test of confidence to sit still while everyone around you was losing their firstborn and eat a meal that night, trusting the Lord would not make a mistake. You know, in Hebrews there are a lot of examples of people who had confidence in the Lord, both named and unnamed, in Hebrews 11. And it says that they lived as strangers, as aliens in a land. And it kind of leads to 1 Peter, what we've been studying there with the believers in 1 Peter being strangers and aliens in the land, and us being strangers and aliens in this land. You know, it takes confidence in the Lord to live as an alien and a stranger in the land that we're surrounded by. It takes confidence the Lord is going to bring about his purpose and bring about his glory. You know, if we don't have confidence that the Lord is going to bring about what he said he's going to do, then we're going to be very much pulled back into this world, because our confidence is by nature will lie in this world. As we started studying 1 Peter, I was really impressed or depressed, I could say, by the fact that if you have confidence in the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, you're naturally going to be an alien in this world. And I could look at myself and see all the entanglements that I have in this world and all the attraction the world has to me and know that where is my confidence? It must not be fully in the Lord. You know, after thinking about this and really meditating on where was my confidence, why wasn't I an alien, it became clear that my confidence was frequently in other places, not in the Lord. You know, if one has confidence in the Lord, they're not going to have confidence in other things. If you have confidence in the world or confidence in your job or confidence in yourself, you're not going to have confidence in the Lord. They're really mutually exclusive. You can't have confidence, is overlapping confidences. There are a couple general things and a couple specific things that the Lord has showed me in areas that I don't have confidence in him. One of which is in the area of looking back. In Hebrews 11 it says, all these people that were heroes of the faith, they didn't look back from where they came. If they had looked back, they would have had opportunity to return. Well, in my case, I keep kind of not having confidence in what the Lord's going to do and looking back and saying, what's the world doing? What's the world have to offer? And when we do that, when we're looking back, we'll have the opportunity to return there. Now, I wonder how much of our struggles, our personal struggles, are because we're looking back at where we came from rather than to what the Lord is calling us. Maybe because we don't have confidence in what he's called us to. Just because we can't see it is we're not surrounded by it. If we look back, we're going to have the opportunity to return there. Another thing I struggle with is, I don't know, Brenda can tell you this, is that I am a people pleaser. Probably not pleasing you right now, but I really want people to like me. For some reason, I have a really hard time when somebody doesn't like me or when I upset somebody. It hurts me if people don't like me. So because I really want people to like me, I end up trying to conform myself to what I think they want me to be. Try to be a lot like them so that they will like me. And what this all comes down to is, do I really have confidence that the Lord loves me? And that do I have confidence that he is enough? Or am I looking to other people to fill some need in me rather than looking to the Lord to fill a need in me? Do I have confidence that the Lord really loves me and is enough? Speaking from my life, and this may ring true in your life also, but there's just a general lack of confidence in the Lord and the calling, because it's such a faraway, nebulous thing that it's like, is it really going to happen? And I don't have a lot of, find myself not having confidence in that because I'm not acting as if it's going to happen. We'll get to that a little bit later. You know, the Lord says we will be glorified, sanctified and glorified. But instead of waiting for that glory and having confidence that glory will come, I end up seeking little glories now rather than waiting for the bigger glory to come. I think that's part of the people pleasing. That's kind of the root of that. But there's all these little glories that we can have now rather than having confidence that the Lord is going to bring a bigger glory later. And all these little glories now are just little transient things of the world that really aren't glories. They seem like it because they're glorious to the world, but they're not really glorious to the Lord. Also, I think in another general way, at times I don't have confidence that the Lord is going to be just. And so because I don't have confidence that he's going to judge righteously, I take that into my own hands. You know, if somebody offends, I need to, because I'm not trusting and have confidence the Lord's going to take care of it, I need to make sure that they know that they offended me and that they have the opportunity to make that right. Instead of trusting that the Lord is going to make things right and that the Lord will correct them in his time. So, you know, I would not have confidence in his just and righteous hand. I don't know if, take a drink here. I don't know if anything I've said this morning reminds you of yourself. But as you examine yourself, you may find that there are areas that you don't have confidence or you have a lack of confidence. So what do you do if you don't have confidence in the Lord? I think it's important to get up here and when I get up here and speak to give some practical thing. Say, this is, if you don't have confidence, this is what you do. I think Scripture gives us several guidelines as far as what we can do if we find ourselves lacking in confidence in the Lord. First off, in Romans 10:17, if we find ourselves lacking in confidence or see a lack of confidence in the Lord, Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." So if you're finding yourself lacking in confidence in the Lord, that confidence can come from the Word, from being in the Word, spending more time in the Word. It's not that reading words about faith will increase your faith, but it's that the Bible is the Word of God. It has power. It has power to change you. And the Lord will use that to give you greater confidence in Him. You know, over the past several months, the Lord has really encouraged my confidence in Him and has increased my confidence in Him through the Word. Back last fall, I felt prompted that my quiet time was kind of dry, and it was become really kind of a bleak thing where I'd sit down in the morning and try to read through it as quickly as I could so I could get on with other things. But the Lord showed me that I should start writing down what I read. So as I sit down for my quiet time in the morning, instead of just reading the passage and thinking that I could remember anything that I notice in there, again, it's part of being old, or older, He prompted me to keep a journal of things that I read in my quiet time in the morning. So as I read something, I take a little note about it. And He convicted me that for every passage I read in the morning, I should write something down, even if it's just a simple resuscitation of the facts in that verse. You know, when you get to genealogy, sometimes that's all there is, just facts. But, to write something down every morning so that when I'm reading the Word, I have to read it closely to look for what to write down. So as I'm writing this stuff down, sometimes, like I said, it's just simple facts. Sometimes it's an outline. Sometimes it's some new revelation in the Word that the Lord is showing me. But through this process of carefully reading the Word, not just skimming over, but carefully reading the Word, the Lord has increased my confidence in Him. And He's also brought new life and new vigor to a quiet time that had just become kind of dry and very much a rote ritual. So if you need confidence in the Lord, spend more time in the Word. Another thing that brings confidence is spending more time with Him. In 1 Peter 2:23, Mac read that this morning, says that while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. Now, I read that verse as I was meditating on confidence. And what I saw in there was the confidence that Christ had in the Father. He had such confidence in the Father that through this ultimate trial, the crucifixion, He was able to remain peaceful. Because He had confidence in the Father. And why did He have confidence in the Father? Because of the time He spent with Him and the intimacy of the relationship He had with the Father. He had confidence in Him. So if we need confidence in Christ, we need to spend more time with Him. And one way to do that is spend more time in prayer and meditation with the Lord. And when we do that, He will meet us. And we will know Him. And when we know Him better, we will have more confidence in Him. I believe that our measure of confidence in the Lord is directly related to how much we know of Him or how well we know Him. The more we know Him, the more confidence we will have in Him and the less confidence we'll have in ourselves. So if you need greater confidence, spend time with Him. A third way to increase our confidence in the Lord is to exercise the confidence that He's already given us. James says, faith without works is dead, or to paraphrase, confidence in Christ without works is dead. If we say that we have confidence in Him and we never lean on that confidence, then what good is that confidence? It's not really there. And when we lean on Him in confidence and when we throw ourselves on Him in confidence, we will know Him better. He'll reveal Himself to us, and we will know Him better. And then from that will come more confidence in Him. So to bring things full circle around to that first verse I read, Hebrews 11:1, where it says, faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. And if we have confidence in Christ, that confidence is going to be visible because we will be acting on that confidence. and those visible acts become evidence of our hope in Christ. And that these visible acts, that confidence in Christ, it will produce evidence in our actions. And that evidence, those actions, which is evidence, will betray something that is unseen in our lives. That's the only way that others can see our faith, is through the living out of that faith, placing our confidence on Him. So without those confidence-based actions, without leaning on Him, without acting with confidence in Him, there is no evidence. There is no substance of our faith. I think that definition of Hebrews 11 is only valid. It's only a valid definition if we're leaning on the Lord, if we have confidence in Him and acting in that confidence. Otherwise, there is no evidence and there is no substance. So just to kind of wrap things up and summarize what I've said this morning is that there's basically my one point, confidence in Christ is indistinguishable from faith in Christ. But for me, the term confidence is easier to grasp than the term faith. We place our confidence, we place our faith in many things, but it's all misplaced unless we're placing it in Christ. If we lack confidence in Christ, Scripture tells us that that confidence will be given to us as we read the Word, as we spend time in the Word, and confidence will be given to us as we spend time with the Lord, and that confidence will be increased as we exercise what confidence He has already given us. And as we exercise that confidence, there is the evidence of that faith, and there is a substance, and that substance will bring glory to the Lord. So let's pray. Father, just thank You, Lord, for giving us confidence in You, Lord. Without that confidence, Lord, we would be just tossed and thrown about as leaves in the wind. Thank You, Lord, for being the source of all of our confidence in You. And I pray, Father, that You would seal these words, Lord. And if there's things that I've said that are not of You, Lord, just please take them away. Father, just thank You again for being there and allowing us to place our confidence in You, Lord, and making the way for that. Just pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.